Saving money on your outdoor project? Now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everyone. Baca here. Before we begin, I'm going to tell you why I've been going by Baca for a few episodes. I was basically an issue of privacy and identity. I'm transgender, and I didn't want to go public with it immediately, but I also didn't want to go by my old name. I'm now going by Sophia and she/her pronouns, and that's how I'll identify in future episodes of Breaking Math. You're probably wondering what I'm going to sound like. Well, voice is not affected by the hormones I take, so it's a skill you have to practice, and though I'm getting better at it, it's still rough. This message was recorded after the episode was, so I still use my old voice in the episode that you're going to be listening to, and so far, but... Sophia here, and this will be the voice that I'll use starting next episode. I'll be taking speech and elocution lessons starting in March, so it'll improve substantially. Nothing else will change about the show, and we'll still continue to put out the same type of content you've come to expect. Thank you for being a listener of Breaking Math, and here's kicking off Season 3 with an episode about game theory.
Hello, listeners. You don't know me, but I know you. I want to play a game. In your ears are two earbuds. Connected to the earbuds are a podcast playing an episode about game theory. Hosting that podcast are two knuckleheads. And you're locked into this episode. The key is at the end of this episode. What is game theory? Why do we parody the Saw franchise? And what twisted lessons will you learn? Let the games begin.
Episode 37, the one where they parody Saw. I'm Baca.
And I'm Gabriel.
And you're listening to Breaking Math.
And just like many, many podcasts out there, we have a Facebook page. If you go to facebook.com/breakingmathpodcast, you will see our wonderful Facebook page.
And you can email us at breakingmathpodcast@gmail.com. But what do we have on our Facebook page?
So our Facebook page has some videos that we've made in the 2 years that we've come into existence. Some creative, some artistic mathematical videos. We also have a video about Socrates and Meno that's been there for a while.
Oh yeah, I made a video that's up on there where it's just me drawing with a graphing calculator on the Mac.
Oh, yeah. And you add a lot of color to it. And basically, it's sort of an abstract, evolving mathematical shape. It's beautiful. You even added some music to it, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I put some gentle guitar music in the back.
Yeah. Also,
I don't play guitar. I found it. It was royalty-free.
Yeah. Baca has been... I consider you a professional at Photoshop. I don't know what you consider yourself, but I've been amazed by your Photoshop skills. So in addition to doing this audio podcast, Baca has made so many beautiful mathematical posters. Things that teach mathematical concepts like the tensor poster, but also just a lot of funny covers. Every one of our episodes has a very funny cover. Right now, there's a cover that is making fun of Saw. Baca actually took my face and Photoshopped it to look like Jigsaw.
And you did mention posters. We are still selling that for $22.46 each.
Yes.
If you want, it turns out that Patreon can't do, you have to do repeated billing with Patreon. So get it through Patreon. But if you want to only get a one-time fee, just email us at breakingmathpodcast@gmail.com and we'll set you up. And that's just temporary until we get a store together.
Yeah. That's a workaround to the current difficulty with Patreon. That, or perhaps Patreon will fix that issue. But yeah, just email us and we'll let you know how you can get set up with a beautiful poster. And also, of course, you can find our podcast among many other places. You can find our podcast at anchor.fm/breakingmathpodcast. I like Anchor. Anchor has a feature where listeners can leave a voicemail to their host. Would you like some voicemails?
Sure. We'll use them wisely.
Yeah, I'd love some voicemails. Send us your voicemail. Let us know how you're enjoying the episodes and what else you'd like for us to include on our episodes. Just go to the phone app, anchor.fm, and go to the Breaking Math page, and there should be a giant button that says voicemail. So I think that's pretty cool. Lastly, of course, we've got a website that needs updating, breakingmathpodcast.com, and you should go there if you want to see some of the applets that we've created in the past years.
Yeah, they're just simple JavaScript programs that illustrate mathematical concepts.
Or the Hypercube, like if you're going to go to a rave, just put the Hypercube on your phone, you know?
Yeah, it actually would be a cool laser projection at a rave.
Yeah, it certainly would be.
And you might have noticed that we're back.
Finally.
Game theory. Actually, before that, we have the solution, finally, to the hat problem from a few months ago, right?
That's right. A few months ago, I had given a problem about four prisoners and some hats. There's a couple of different prisoner hat problems, but I gave one of them, and I did not give the solution. So it is now time for the solution. First, a quick recap of the problem. So in this problem from our previous episode, there, of course, are four prisoners. And I think the setup is that there's just not enough, there are not enough cells for the prisoners, the prison is full. So the warden decides to give the prisoners a puzzle. And if they get it right, then they get to live. And if that sounds almost like a game theory thing. the warden gives the prisoners a problem to solve. And if they win, or if they quickly solve it, then they're all set free. And if they do not solve it correctly, then they are all executed because this is a messed up problem.
It is. And they're wearing two different colors of hats. And the prisoners have to escape by one of them answering with their hat color with 100% accuracy. So this problem, basically, to rephrase the question, which prisoner knows their hat color and how do they know?
Yeah, exactly. And so a few details. There are four prisoners. Let's just call the four prisoners Prisoner A, Prisoner B, Prisoner C, and Prisoner D. And here's the setup. Prisoner B is set up facing a wall. He can't see anybody. He's not looking at a mirror. He's just looking at a blank wall. Prisoner C is set up right behind B. So Prisoner C can see Prisoner B, but nothing else. And he's not allowed to look behind him. Prisoner D can see both Prisoner B and C. So basically, all three, B, C, and D, are in a line, and they are facing a wall. And D can see C and B. Sorry. D can see... There's no way to say that and not make it sound...
It's okay. It makes sense.
Tongue twister. Prisoner D can see Prisoner B and Prisoner... sorry.
Okay, I could do this.
Thank you.
So four prisoners, A, B, C, and D, are arrested for a crime. Prisoner B is facing the wall, and so he's in the very front, facing the wall, right there with his nose to the brick. C is right behind B, so C can actually see B in front of him. Then D can see both B and C.
Good job. You did it. You did it better... than I did. Yeah. And as you said earlier, there are two colors of hats. So black and white, red and green, whatever. We'll just say black and white.
And where's A?
Okay. Oh, and A is set in a different room altogether. A can't see anybody. But they can all hear each other. So A is just off in solitary confinement by himself. Alrighty. So the solution. So here's the thing. The solution involves the warden asking a question, and it specifically involves the fact that people do not answer right away. And
we forgot to say that there's two different colors of hats.
No. We said that.
I mean, there's two of each color of hat.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't say the distribution.
Correct.
So there's two, let's say, two black and two white.
Thank you. I hope our listeners are keeping up with all this. I'm sure they're doing fine. Okay, so essentially, When the warden asks if anybody has a solution, nobody answers right away. However, this in itself gives some information.
Well, first of all, there is a solution. There's two solutions. The first one is that if B and C, so the people closest to the wall, have the same color of hat, then D knows that they have a different color hat.
Or D knows that he has a different color hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right. That, you know what? That's a really, really good point, because D can clearly see B and C.
Yeah, so that's one of the answers.
Yes.
But let's say B has a white hat and C has a black hat, or vice versa. So they have different colors.
Then D does not know for sure what color hat he has on at all. You know, it could be either one. It's a 50-50. So then the solution is that C knows that D hasn't spoken up and therefore must not know what the answer is. And the only occasion in which D doesn't know is when B and C have a different color hat on. However, C can clearly see whatever color B is wearing, whether it's black or white, and therefore C can deduce that his hat is the opposite of B's hat.
Yeah, and so you might be thinking, well, that is a communication, you know, not hearing, because they can't do this simultaneously and always have the answer. And that is true. So it is a lateral thinking puzzle as well.
Yeah, and why is A even part of this problem at all?
I think it's so they have two of each hat.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Good point. So
it makes the problem seem more complicated than it is.
Yes, absolutely. But A can turn out to be extraneous information, which sometimes is the case in problems. So that's the solution. The answer, C is the only prisoner who has a chance at answering correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
That is in the occasion that B and C have a different color hat on.
So that's a solution. And a shout out to the YouTube show, SciShow. They're pretty big YouTubers. If you haven't gone to them, go to them.
They have a fantastic YouTube show that we watched on Game Theory.
And without further ado, what is Game Theory?
Game Theory. This is a huge, huge question. And answering this question is part of why it's taken us months and months to release this episode. It's a very large, encompassing field that deals with describing human behavior in terms of costs and benefits.
Well, not just human behavior, any decision-making behavior. Mm-hmm. Basically, the data that you're given is you're given a list of players and preferences. So if you're playing chess, each move might have a different preference to the other ones. And it's figuring out those preferences that is a huge part of some types of game theory.
Yeah, yeah. And you had mentioned when you are given information, let's say you are the observer, that's different than you the player. And that also has implications for what game theory means, is who is given what information. Information is a huge component of game theory. It's its own field altogether.
But in this episode, we're going to set up the basics of game theory, just go through some basic concepts. And of course, you heard the intro. We're going to be doing that with the help of this character whose name is not Jigsaw, but it's Broken Lego.
Broken Lego. Yeah. Wow. It's kind of like Jigsaw.
Is a Jigsaw broken? I guess a Jigsaw is a broken picture.
Well, yeah, it's a component, but it belongs somewhere. But a broken Lego is just... It would hurt to step on.
Yeah, and that's a form of torture. So you'll see as we go. Here's the episode.
Lego, you listening to this are in a dungeon with one other person I have kidnapped named Skylar. It is your job to withstand my wicked games together through an understanding of game theory.
But you'll have our help.
That's right. We're going to tell you some things relevant to game theory so that you can solve the puzzles.
And we'll tell you after Broken Lego describes each perilous challenge.
You now find yourself in a different room from Skylar. Separated, alone, afraid. You are both strapped into dentist chairs, surrounded by an array of menacing dentistry tools. On a speaker by your ear, copyright-free music plays. Also, there's a clown picture. It's creepy. On your left, you'll notice a lever. When you hear this sound, you have 30 seconds to decide whether to pull that lever. If you and Skylar both pull the lever, you will both be tortured for 5 hours. If neither of you pull the lever, then you will only be tortured for 1 hour each. If Skylar pulls a lever and you don't, though, then you will be tortured for 10 hours and Skylar will go free. If you pull it and they don't, then you will go free. The torture is cruel as it is unusual. The music coming out of the speaker by your ear will be replaced with the sound of people chewing and slurping. It's gonna be awful. Like, I didn't even like recording it. Begin.
Oh, that's awful. I can't even imagine. You know, funny story. My stepdad eats breakfast cereal, and he slurps all the time when I'm sitting by him. It drives me nuts, and I'm not really allowed to say anything, but I usually just pick up and go or put some earphones on. But then I get in trouble for putting in earphones, and it's not that I don't want to be social. It's that I don't want to hear the guttural sounds of slurping. That is real torture.
Yeah, it's called misophonia when you don't like the sounds of annoying things.
What kind of twisted person is broken Lego to subject someone to this?
Well, the kind of twisted person who's going to help us learn some math.
Yeah. Hopefully, though, I'm confident that with the knowledge that we're about to drop, our listeners will get out of this with the best possible outcome.
Now, one thing about the lever is that the lever, of course, is just a mechanical thing. And with or without the lever being labeled, the answer to this problem will be the same one if the question posed is, what is the best strategy for players that don't know one another yet? And who have, basically we're simplifying this universe so that this is the only challenge. It's not completely realistic, but you try coming up with a format like this.
Exactly. In fact, this particular scenario is very, very, very similar to a well-known problem called the prisoner's dilemma.
Yeah, so let's say that the torture is just jail time and that you and Skylar had committed, you know, some crime together.
A theft or something, yeah.
Yeah, and so the police say that if you confess and Skylar doesn't, I mean, if neither of you confess, then you'll both only be tortured for 1 hour, or you'll both only go to jail for 1 hour. If you both defect, then you'll both go to jail for 5 hours, and that's not a very long time in jail. Let's say years. And if Skylar pulls a lever and you don't,
or confesses rather,
yeah. And so you can see they're the same thing. If Skylar confesses and you don't, then you'll go to jail for 10 years, and Skylar goes free.
Yeah. So there's a few things that are worth considering with this particular setup. The relationship that you have with Skylar, or in the case of the prisoner's dilemma, the relationship between the prisoners, do they trust each other?
Yeah, because if they do have some kind of cooperation, then you could see that if both of them decide to stay silent, then the total amount of jail time or torture time, or if you don't pull the lever, is going to be at its minimum for both of them together. But the thing is, like, let's say Skylar pulls the lever, right? Is your best strategy, if Skylar pulls a lever, to pull the lever or not pull the lever?
Well, if Skylar pulls the lever, your best strategy is clearly to also pull the lever.
Yeah, and if Skylar doesn't pull the lever, what is your best strategy?
Still to pull the lever.
So no matter what, pulling the lever is both of yours best strategy if you're being completely selfish.
Yeah, exactly.
And it lands you, and it if you both pull the lever, remember, then you're both tortured for 5 hours. So even though you could cooperate and make it better for both of you, the best strategy to do, based on what you know, is to pull the lever. And this is actually why climate change is such a difficult problem. We'll be talking a little bit more about that kind of thing in cooperative game theory. But basically, you have all these economies that don't have a common interest in their ecology. And so you have all these different actors basically making selfish decisions and landing everyone together in worse places than they could be individually than if they all worked together.
Yeah, exactly. Now, this is also a Nash equilibrium, is that right?
Yeah, a Nash equilibrium is where everybody can only do worse by changing their own strategy while the other side does nothing.
Yeah.
So basically, it's where you can only go downhill.
Interesting. Yeah, and I find this fascinating because obviously, in the context of what's happening here, there's you, the listener, and then there is Skylar. Or there's the two prisoners who don't know each other, and they obviously have no way of communicating or strategizing, so they don't know what the other person is going to do. So it's a matter of probabilities. And if in this case we assume that both you and Skylar or the two prisoners are selfish, then clearly the only thing to do is to pull the lever.
Yeah, and of course, if you you could introduce probability theory into this analysis too. For example, how likely is it, like, there's so many things you could do. So, like, what we're basically saying is that game theory is just the simple thing of, like, what states of the game, so what set of choices by the players are such that everybody can only do worse. So that's a question in game theory. So I hope you're getting more of a sense of game theory.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this in mind, it sounds like the best move forward is to
save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You definitely pull the lever.
I see that you and Skylar have found one another, and you are separated by a pane of plexiglass. In front of you two are vials containing different poison from the other, as well as sinks with faucets. The sinks drain into a cup on a chain which you both have access to. Your poisons are the antidotes for each other.
So this is an interesting setup here. So in this game, there is you, the listener, on one side of the plexiglass, and then there is Skylar on the opposite side. And you both have a poison in a vial, and you also have this setup where you can both pour your poison into a drain that goes into a
cup. So basically, yeah. To make it more simple and less mechanical, you two have different poisons, and you have to either decide to mix them together or not mix them together, or just drink one of the poisons. And remember, the poisons by themselves are deadly, but together they're fine. And if you just put water in the cup, then you could just drink water just fine.
So as listeners here, or as listeners, do we know exactly what proportion of the poison to pour in order to create the anecdote?
Oh yeah, like it's just 100% or 0% of the poison. So basically you either fill it with poison or water.
This is a very interesting one, or rather it's a little on the nose, should we say.
Well, the reason why it's interesting is because it's not because obviously the solution is to, like, if you see Skylar pouring in their poison, then obviously you're going to pour in your poison too. And if Skylar doesn't, then you're going to pour in nothing too.
Okay. Okay.
If you both want to survive though.
Yes.
That's the thing, is that if Skylar is homicidal and suicidal, or the other one is not, then it changes the Nash equilibria of this problem. And this problem is really to discuss Nash equilibria. Mm-hmm. So again, what are Nash equilibria?
It's a decision with the maximum, should we say, statistical benefit out of all the choices. What is statistically the best choice?
Well, it's not necessarily statistically the best choice. It's the absolute best choice. Like, there cannot be... something is not a Nash equilibrium if somebody can change their answer and still be at the same level. It has to be, if they change it, they have to have a worse outcome.
Okay.
So that's why these are stable the way they are.
And there's a few other considerations with this particular problem. For instance, are either you or Skylar forced to go first?
Let's explore both things, with Skylar being not suicidal, homicidal, and with Skylar, yes, being homicidal, suicidal.
Okay. So assuming that nobody is suicidal, homicidal, and both you and Skylar want to get out of this scot-free, then really it shouldn't really matter who goes first.
No, because you guys have the same goal, so you guys are going to do the same thing.
Yes, yes. You'll both pour your solution. You'll both pour your poison into the cup, and you'll drink it and not die.
Or you'll both just pour water into the cup and drink it and not die.
Okay, exactly. So
those are two Nash equilibria associated with that state of the game, or those set of rules in the game.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the case that, let's say that Skylar is both homicidal and suicidal and wants both of you to die.
Let's say that Skylar goes first. That's the best for you in that situation.
Yes, because if he pours the poison in, and if you are not homicidal or suicidal, then you just pour yours in as well, and it neutralizes the poison.
Or vice versa. Or yeah, I guess if they're homicidal or suicidal, they wouldn't pour water at all if they went first.
Yeah.
They would only pour poison in hopes, or they pour water in hopes that you pour poison. But I guess they would. In that situation, though, it wouldn't make sense because they should know that you are gonna that you would know how to cancel that out. You wouldn't put poison into water.
This episode is all about game theory and how it has been used to try to understand the mathematics behind decision making. And one of the key components of game theory is logic. To that end, our partner, Brilliance.org, has a course about logic. I love how the course starts by taking you through logic puzzles in the chapter, The Logical Detective, and all the way through Spot the Fallacies, Euler and Venn Diagram Basics, and De Morgan's Law in the Syllogisms and Sets chapter. To support your free education in mathematics and physics, go to www.brilliant.org/breakingmath and sign up for free. The first 200 Breaking Math listeners can save 20% off the annual subscription fee, which we have been using. And now, back to the episode.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then one other consideration, if we're just kidding, keep track of rules here. If Skylar pours water, then there is no outcome on your... Well, I guess you could also pour water as well. I didn't think about that, you know.
But notice that this is not a Nash equilibrium.
So again, it sort of depends on who goes first. But if... Assuming that you both have to make a choice, and it's either to pour water or to pour the solution in the shared cup, then whether Skylar is homicidal, suicidal, and wants you to die or not, as long as Skylar goes first, you should be fine.
Now, let's suppose both of you are homicidal and suicidal.
Then you can actually cooperate and both opt for the worst possible outcome.
Now, we say cooperation, but that's different than a cooperative game. A cooperative game is defined in a very specific way. We'll go into that in the next section. But cooperation happens when in Nash equilibria, at Nash equilibria, basically, at places where, at solutions where the other person. So it's not a Nash equilibrium if the goals are different, because let's say the goals are different. No matter what, somebody can make their outcome better because one person doesn't want to kill and one person does want to kill. So there's no Nash equilibria there at all.
Mm-hmm.
But when they have the same goals, the Nash equilibria show up. There's two each.
Yes. I want to mention one other thing as well. Let's just say that they don't have the same goal. But as we said earlier, assuming that Skylar goes first, you can still get a preferred outcome for yourself, but just not for Skylar, because, you know, Skylar's preferred outcome won't happen.
Yeah, if you and Skylar are perfect players, then whoever goes first loses.
Correct. Exactly. Or if, as you said, both of you are perfect players and you have opposite goals. Now, again, it is kind of hard to imagine, you know, a scenario when you're playing with a homicidal, suicidal person, but just for the sake of this game and for the occasions when that does happen, let's just consider it.
Gabriel.
Yes.
Are you telling me we have to sometimes consider weird things in math? Weird, nonsensical problems?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, okay. And then let's just say that you go first, and let's say we're still on the occasion where you are not homicidal or suicidal and Skylar is. In other words, Skylar wants both Skylar and you to die. If you go first, then again, no matter what, you're going to lose. Because if you pour your poison in, then Skylar can just pour water in and you're both forced to drink it and you both die.
Yeah, and you might be thinking, what is like this in real life? And there's actually an example where homicidal, suicidal it changes the game rules in almost the exact same way. And that's traffic lights. Because traffic lights, it's kind of the inverse of this problem. The Nash equilibria are at opposites, because you stop at a stoplight and the other person goes, or the other person stops at a stoplight and you go. So you guys have opposite things, where versus here, it's either both pouring the poison or neither pouring the poison that's in front of them. But let's say somebody is homicidal and suicidal when it comes to traffic lights, then they can run reds, basically.
Yes, yeah, and then it would be a perfectly analogous example to this.
Well, almost analogous, because remember the case in which both of them just stop at the stoplight is just a weird case to consider.
It is a weird case, but again, it's a time where you have to imagine a weird thought experiment that doesn't quite make sense, but you need it to be mathematically consistent.
Yeah, and what's interesting about that is that in game theory, you have these matrices where it's like a matrix where it's like a grid where each grid cell is divided into two by a diagonal, and player one is on the top and player two is on the bottom, or vice versa, whatever. And where the rows are labeled by options for player one and columns are labeled by options for player two. Now in each triangle that's half of a square, you put the rank of the decision. So this is just any number. It could be A, B, C, D. It could be 1, 2, 3, 4. It just has to be ordinal. And that is the raw data of game theory. That's the data structure, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in this example, again, I guess we didn't really talk about who's going to go first, but we've already laid out what happens for whoever goes first.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
You have both now learned that something that seems fair can be very unfair if you are not aware of the other person's motivations and your increasing sense of paranoia about Skylar. You must work together now. Since money is the root of all evil, you have been tasked with distributing it fairly amongst yourselves. This task is split into two parts. The first part is this. In a pen in front of you are a bunch of angry black goats. I happen to know that Skylar can shear 10 angry goats in an hour by themselves, and that can only shear 5. The first part of your task, cooperate together to shear goats.
All right, so real quick, this is where we're going to talk about cooperation.
Yeah, so this is another aspect of game theory. There's the competitive aspect that we talked about earlier, and then there's the cooperative aspect, where the goal is a little different.
Now, a cooperative game is where there's some communal pot, basically. This communal pot, so for example, it might be in a corporation, it might be their bottom line or something like that.
Yeah, or gosh, what? What's another example? Just
So basically, it's where you can have some number that represents the total product of the coalition. And a coalition is just a bunch of people doing something together. So, back to the scenario.
The first part of your task is complete. Notice that, because you work together, dodging and shearing goats, you have shorn 20 goats. Whereas, had you two worked alone, you only would have shorn 15 total. 5 for... and 10 for Skylar. This is exactly as I expected. Now part two. One gold coin is being distributed for every goat you have shorn. You must distribute the gold fairly between yourselves. If either of you cheat the other one, then the remaining goats will blow up. Good luck.
Oh wow, this is interesting. So this is about compensation for the job done then. So there's still an award, it's just about who gets awarded what, right?
Yeah, it's like if you and your friends are going berry picking, who gets how many of the berries? Like if somebody's lazy, how many do they get?
Okay. So I kind of think of this as sort of analogous to, I wouldn't say, you know, at the end of a football game, we've got the most valuable player, they are recognized, but this is about like, if the team gets a fixed amount of money, you know, which, how do you distribute, how do you figure out which player gets the money? This is exactly that, in fact.
Yeah, it's very close. Yeah. And so let's define fair, and because we're just saying words, we should define things mathematically. So what is a fair share of the collective payoff? And to talk about the collective payoff, we're going to have to talk about the characteristic function of a coalition game. So the number that represents the total success of the group, that's the characteristic function. So the characteristic function for a coalition means, so in this case, the characteristic function for you and Skylar was 20 goats. The coalition function for you alone would be 5 goats, and the coalition function for Skylar alone would be 10 goats. I mean, not the coalition, the characteristic function.
Yeah, and of course, it doesn't completely, like, the fact that you work together, you produced more than just 15. Otherwise, it'd be a much simpler problem.
Yeah, and we still have to define, though, what fair means in this case. And the way that Shapley defined it is that it's a share that is the average of all the ways the coalitions can be formed with that player would be do better than coalitions without them.
Who was Shapley again?
Shapley was a game theorist. I don't know much about him.
Okay, what was Shapley's first name? Or was that his first name?
I'm not sure. I think it's his last name, though.
Okay, I'm just curious, just because I want to look up him a little bit more later. Lloyd Shapley, who introduced it in 1953. How about that? Okay, I just wanted to, you know, just for food for thought. Or...
Oh, yeah. So in this case, the fair share, we could calculate that directly. So you without Skylar, that is 5 goats worth of shearing, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And Skylar without you, that's 10 goats worth of shearing.
That's correct.
And both together is 20, and neither is 0. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's another thing about the characteristic function. The characteristic function of no players has to be 0. There can't be an intrinsic payoff. You have to account for that.
Okay. Otherwise, how would it throw things off if you had an intrinsic payoff? I mean, I'm sure you would just, like, you know, normalize it. Like, down
well, it just wouldn't. It wouldn't work with the definition very well.
Okay.
because we're trying to measure the output of people, because if we're measuring an output without people, okay, we're getting background noise.
So obviously, with all the information we have right now, with our task of distributing a coin evenly, this is where, just like with many other instances, it's mathematics to the rescue.
Yeah, so remember, it's a share that's the average of all the ways that groups formed could do better with you. So let's think of all the groups that could be without you. It's either Skylar or nobody, right?
Yep.
So Skylar by themselves would do 15 worth goats, right?
Yep.
But you two together would do 20, right?
Yes.
So that is 10 goats better than they would do alone, right? In mm-hmm. that case?
Yes.
So 10 is the first number for that, for the average. With the nobody, your entire contribution is 5 goats worth, right?
Correct. I'm sorry, with nobody? With just you, with just our listener.
Yeah, versus nobody.
Yes.
It's 5 goats worth.
Yeah, that's correct.
So the average of 10 goats and 5 goats is 7.5 goats.
Yep.
And that is how many goats? So basically, the 7.5 gold coins basically is your share, and the rest of it is the other person's share.
How many gold coins go to
Skylar?
Skylar.
Well, since there's 20 gold coins total, they get 12.5.
Okay. And then what is the equation that you used to come up with that?
So you take every group that you're not a part of, mm-hmm. and you calculate how much better the group would do with you in them.
Okay.
And take the average of all those values. And that is your fair share of the collective payoff.
You know, I think we just gave the listener the answer. So, well, I don't think Broken Lego said we couldn't do that, right?
Well, I mean, Broken Lego is not trying to teach a concept.
Okay, so we are then. So, okay.
How did my cat get out of the bathroom?
Maybe it wasn't shut tight, or the cat jumped and like turned the knob.
I hope not. I don't
want that meowing you hear is Math Cat.
Oh yeah, Math Cat is named Moose, which means moose is short for moosophage, mouse eater. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
There you go. So you have the answer. Now it's up to you to implement it.
Yeah, go do that.
Congratulations. You have solved 3 puzzles
having to do with the differences between cooperative and non-cooperative games. Next time, we will analyze the consequences of this in more detail, as well as the concept of common knowledge.
I'm Baka.
And I'm Gabriel.
And this has been Breaking Math. Okay, so where can people go again to find us on all the internet?
So you can certainly send us an email. We certainly enjoy those at breakingmathpodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us a voicemail directly. Go to the anchor.fm app and go to Breaking Math Podcast. Let me double check that it's Breaking Math Podcast. I think
it is. I double checked.
Perfect. Yes. Send us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from you. You can also see all of our neat art in Baca's Photoshop and videos that's on our Facebook page. Those are really cool too. And of course, subscribe to us also on anchor.fm/breakingmathpodcast.
Sorry, he's like in the pizza. Oh.